Back to the Beat. Bulls Beat continues with Derek Sharp.
One player for baseball on back-to-back days merely hit for the cycle, had three homers, and drove in 13 runs. The baseball team is at home this weekend. We'll give you a preview of the Bulls and NCAA. We'll also give you the last time a Bull almost hit for the cycle, and Bobby Boeser pulled it off on Wednesday. Again, more baseball, more softball details coming up. Here, though, tons of highlights from a thrilling win for the women's basketball team. And it was important because we found out during the course of the broadcast that Wynn and the Bulls would be in a much more advantageous position. We said that there was a way that they could ascend to the fourth seed. They needed four other games to go their way. And the one that we said on the podcast page was the easiest one, of course, didn't happen. That would be UAB getting knocked off by next to last place Wichita State. Still, though, as we were doing the calculations of the games that had wrapped up before ours on Tuesday night, we figured out, as ours was coming down to it, that if the Bulls win, they'd be the fifth seed. If they'd lose, they'd be the eighth seed and a much tougher draw. And right when we figured that out, the Bulls had a 7-point lead in a game that they had trailed all the way through. And before you could go, okay, we're up by seven, this is looking good, SMU put on a 6-0 run, and it was tight the rest of the way, as in going to overtime tight. Here are the regulation highlights, actually, just from the second half, because it was like the FAU game. The Bulls fell behind late in the first quarter and just could never get it back. They couldn't hit a three. In fact, they only made 1-3 in regulation, but it sparked them, and instead of trying to climb their way back, they actually got it tied at the end of the third quarter. Had the lead for a bit there in the fourth. Here's how that sounded.
On underneath the wing to Ariel Wilson. Three looks short, but it rims in. I have no idea how that one ended up going down, but it makes it a 2-point game. It was short. It snuck in on the short side, almost like a goal in hockey that looked like it had no business sneaking in. And just like that, it's a 36-34 game. Now Young wants to drive around Wilson. Wild shot. Bulls had the block out, but Abdur-Rahim gets it, and she misses a layup. They are 1-for-10 in this quarter. Bulls can tie it up on the fast break, and they do! Romy Levy to Ariel Wilson. Helped out, sure, on the other side, but helping themselves, and Ariel Wilson scores 5 straight points to tie this baby up at 36 apiece with 5:14 to go in the third quarter. Now Levy wants to take it. Oh, there's a nice looking shot right there. That's the one she's been waiting for. A little jump step, create some room, and sink it from 10 feet. And it's 41-38 Bulls. And Romy Levy with just her second make from the floor. She and Blasick, who's not out there right now. 5-for-16 combined. I was just alluding to that. They feed Embry underneath. Aveline Lutcher-Shippold. Yeah, that's a foul. She didn't need to reach over. It's her third foul. Has Embry, exactly right. You just heard Jose Fernandez say, why are we fouling her? She was trying to create a difficult fadeaway 10-footer, and Ava reached over to foul her when she could have just held those arms straight up. Still, it's a 12-2 run for the Bulls. They made their last 5 from the floor. Levy wants the ball. Has a shorter player in Bradley, but a good defender on her. Shovels to Ava. That's an aggressive move, and it rims in. She put it high on the glass, just had enough touch. And the Bulls' lead is their largest right now, albeit just 43-39. Bulls in this quarter are 7-for-9 from the floor. They hand it off to Pitts, and again, Aveline Lutcher-Shippold fouls her. That is 4 on her. 1:50 to go in the third quarter. Whips it over to Romy Levy. Defense opens up. Great move to the hoop, and another assist for Ariel Wilson. Give her 4. Remember, she had none in the first half. Bulls now 80% from the floor in this quarter. That generally will get you some points. They held Tulane to 8 points in the third the other night. They're holding SMU 21-9 here. This has been a much better quarter. 8 on the shot. Levy backs down. Bradley turns it up and in over her. Romy Levy doing her thing. 47-41. Still much time for SMU. 8 as they get it across. Watch Embry posting up for a 3-5. Bradley looks to drive in on Levy. They send it off to Chandler, and she puts up a floater at the horn. No good. What a quarter for the South Florida Bulls. They hit 9 out of 12 from the floor in the quarter, 7 in a row at one point, and they outscore the Mustangs 23-9. They lead it going to the fourth. It is 47-41. Plenty of time, 5:26 to go. Bulls lead it by one. Young wants to go. They double team her. Now she gets around Wilson, and yeah, just falls down. That is her. That's how she gets free throws. But you can't. You got to be touched first. And now the Bulls look to the other, go the other way, and Wilson lays it up and in. How about that? The letting Tierra Young fall down in front of you and not getting the call, and then answering with a layup. She's got a season high 9 points, and it's 50-47 midway through this fourth quarter. What a sequence that was. They have 11 fewer field goal attempts than SMU in this quarter. But they're 5-6 in the line, and they're holding on by three with 1:10 to go. Young, nice pass to Embry. They try to flop, wide open three, swishes in. And that was Jaya Perry. Jaya Perry was absolutely unaccounted for. She was 7-for-32 on made threes coming into this game. Wilson hands it off to Levy. With Young out on her, puts her head down. That's a tough shot. And it rims out. She was never going to pass that ball. And SMU, I think, knew it. SMU is getting every defensive rebound, obviously. 18 seconds difference between shot and the game. Bulls have got to defend here, and if they do, they can hold for one at the end. Young wants to drive. Lane opens up, rims it in. Scores with 31 and a half seconds left. SMU leads it 56-54. They give it to Levy again, and Young jumps out on her with 10 on the shot. Tries to drive. Another difficult shot. Rims in. Romy Levy ties it up with 9.2 seconds to go. That was almost no different than her miss the previous possession. So give her a lot of credit for going back to the well there. And she now has 12 points. Young will take it at the logo. Sends it over to Bradley. 4 seconds. Bulls knock it out of bounds with 2.6 to go. So far, so good. Bulls still have one foul to give, so you got to make sure to give it the right way. Don't give it to somebody who's shooting. Foul right when they grab the ball, if you're going to foul. They want to get it to Young, but she's about 30 feet from the basket, so you'll take that inbounds pass, and that's where it goes. Don't foul her. And that's a long three, and it just banks off. So great defense by the Bulls. So we are going to overtime. The regular season not quite done yet.
Why not just sweat it out all the way till the end? Overtime did not start well. Both teams missed their first two shots before the Mustangs took the lead, but the Bulls would do the bulk of the scoring and defending, and it was fun to broadcast.
Classic needs a screen, can't get it. Levy three, looks good, rings in. Nice shot by Romy, her first make from three tonight. And just the second for the Bulls, it's 61-58. Levy, talk about being your top option and rising to the occasion. She's done it for a second game in a row and hopefully second win in a row. Bulls playing a zone defense that SMU has found the corners open against. That's a travel, actually. They call actually a charge first on Shante Embry. And ironically, going back to that play where she fouled out Danny Gonzalez by flinging her body into the player to create position, it'll be Bulls basketball, and SMU will not pressure. So they get a free up across midcourt, get it across Ariel with 51 seconds left, and Jose's going to call out a play. 63-61, you can't wait too late here. Aveline Litchis-Shipport is wincing still. She got palled right in the kisser. 12 seconds to go on the shot, 38 on the game, and they hand it off to Levy. This is going to be her take. She bounces to Aveline Litchis-Shipport, defended well, has to get it desperately back out to Romy. Blasic with three, puts up three. Good! Vicky Blasic, that was worth the wait. Makes it a 5-point lead for the Bulls with 23 seconds left. Embry long three, looks off, and it should be Bulls ball. It is. Vicky Blasic, she was 0-for-2 in this game, had gone 0-for the last two games on threes, and drains that one at the shot clock horn. That was a thing of beauty, and it was a step back as well, and it just felt like it was going down from the moment it left her hand.
And man, could that be a big boost in more ways than one. It led to the Bulls winning that game, a game where in the second half, they got out offensive rebounded 13-0, and that was a problem. They could have put it away a lot sooner, but Blasic came through, as did Romy Levy. Aveline Litchis-Shipport, by the way, was named to the last weekly honors. And since the conference tournament starts Saturday, I would anticipate all conference performers getting named today. Vicky Blasic could be the freshman of the year, and certainly Romy Levy's got to get honored somehow. Newcomer of the year, perhaps. We'll have that information for you, obviously, along with everything else when we get on the air Sunday. 2:45 is the pregame show. 3 o'clock is the tip between the Bulls and the winner of Saturday's 12-13 game. FAU has earned the 12th seed. They have stockpiled some wins lately, including one against the Bulls, and they didn't have their top two scorers in that game. They're healthy, so we'd anticipate them being the opponent. If not, it'll be Wichita State. If the Bulls win, they'll get fourth-seeded UTSA. It ended up being just, here's the crazy thing, a two-team tie for fourth place. It was a six-way tie for fourth going into Tuesday night. Two of those teams played each other, UTSA beating Rice. The other four teams in the tie, the Bulls were the only one that won, so that's why it was an easy tiebreaker in the end that got the Bulls the fifth seed. Rice, by losing to UTSA, went from the fourth seed to the 10th seed. It's not going to be easy for anybody. I mean, you look at the top three teams. Tulsa is the number one seed. Well, they finished in a three-way tie with North Texas and Temple. They all lost five games in conference. It's not like the men's team, which is, as we know, 16-1. So it's going to be fun. Only the winner is headed to the NCAA tournament, and we'll give you all the color from Fort Worth starting on Sunday afternoon. Because I'll be gone with women's basketball, baseball play-by-play duties will be handled by Peter DeFee Jr., making his debut on the microphone. The Bulls against NCAA, and a pretty good midweek. Remember, they got shut out on Sunday by UCF. 1-0, disappointing. Feeling a little bit better about their offense after what happened Tuesday and Wednesday. Wild game against a 7-3 UNF team that the Bulls were trailing going into the seventh inning and ended up winning by run rule. That's because they tied it in the seventh and put up a 12 spot in the top of the eighth to win 17-5. Bobby Bozer finished it with his second homer of the game to complete a 7-RBI day. He hit a 470-foot homer back in the fourth inning. John Montez went 4-for-5, and again, Bozer, two homers, 7 RBI. How do you top that? Well, you probably don't. He only had 6 RBI on Wednesday, but oh yeah, hit for the cycle. And this time the Bulls were up 6-3, up 7-4, lost both leads, down a run going into the ninth at Jacksonville, and put up a 6 spot in the top of the ninth, capped by Bobby Bozer's 3-run homer. Earlier, he cleared the bases with the 3-run triple. Again, no 7 RBI, but 4 hits, which is kind of what you need to get a cycle. Also want to mention Jackson Mayo, 3 hits and 3 RBI. I'll tell you about this weekend's opponent, not just for baseball and softball, but I did want to play this audio because I remembered a near cycle. I didn't remember all the details perfectly, but this was fun. It was Jackie Robinson Ballpark against Bethune-Cookman. Early in the season, VR doubled his first at bat, got a homer, got a single, actually had an at bat in the eighth inning, struck out, that was it. He's not going to get a cycle, right? First of all, he had only one triple in his career. That's the hardest part of the cycle, and this was year three for him. Was among the nation's leaders in doubles, but that triple, yeah, those are harder. And he was seventh in the order in the ninth inning. The Bulls decided to put up 4 more runs in the ninth inning before getting it out, so he was going to get an at bat. Normally in a 16-1 game, you're pinch hitting, but you know Billy Moe was thinking cycle, and so was I.
Anything in the gap, you got to be thinking three. You still get the double anyway. You know what I mean? Got to hit the ball first. And it's 0-2. He's definitely hacking up there, that's for sure. Here's the pitch from Stachewski, and that ball was drilled to right. You know what? It might drop in the right spot. And instead, it is caught by the right fielder. What a great play. And I'm telling you, that would have been the type of hit ball that would have been a triple had it not been for Kyle Corbin, an extremely fast player who tripled earlier and just made the catch of the night.
Before that, who knows when the last Bulls cycle was until Wednesday with Bobby Bozer. It's not in the record books, and we're continuing to search. Either way, turning our attention to North Carolina A&T, Peter DeFee Jr. will be on the microphone for those games this weekend. Both Saturday and Sunday will be on the Strike 102.5 HD2 with basketball going on, so we'll put out the link for that. By the way, NCAA, though not the toughest schedule, is 10-2 most recently after getting home sweeps by the way of Maryland, Eastern Shore, and Eastern Illinois. Did win Wednesday at UNF easily, 10-5. Won't be easy for softball. 3 games against Charlotte, which was picked to finish second in the conference after winning the Conference USA. 49ers are 10-8. Now they have played a great schedule. They have beaten Florida State in Tallahassee and the University of Kentucky, which was ranked 15th at the time. But hey, Ken Erickson's team is pretty good too, entering this one at 17-6. an incredibly big tournament for women's golf playing in Augusta at the Valspar at Forest Hills, not at the Augusta National, but still. 36 holes Friday, 18 Sunday with rain forecasted Saturday. Every team in the field of 17 is ranked in the top 100, led by number one ranked in the country, Wake Forest, fifth ranked South Carolina, three more top 20 teams, Auburn, Ole Miss, Clemson. It is loaded. This will be an enormous test for Erica Brennan's Bulls. And it's one where I know they've been winning tournaments, top three. If they finish in the top half of 17, due to a rankings perspective, they'll actually move up more than they have in tournaments where they won. Meanwhile, the men, Jake Peacock, for his victory a couple weeks ago, was named the AAC Golfer of the Week. They're in Ponte Vedra, and they're in a big-time tournament, which also includes the number one team in the country, North Carolina. Not as many in the top 20, but just outside, let's see, 21 Alabama, 23 Duke, 25 North Florida, 26 Ohio State. There's 13th-ranked Virginia as well. You get the idea. UCF's in it. 18 holes Saturday, 18 holes Sunday, and 18 holes on Monday. Men's tennis will try and shake off what happened Thursday at home when they go to Louisiana this weekend to play Lafayette tomorrow and then go to Tulane, which is always very difficult. The Bulls got a smashing win against Penn State on Wednesday afternoon, but then after winning the doubles point against Middle Tennessee State, lost to a really good top 40 Red Raiders team, and it came down right to the end. Eric Grevelius of the Bulls got the first win against a ranked opponent 6-2, 6-2, but MTSU won a key first set tiebreaker and then rolled 6-1 at the three court. Alvin Todorica, who's a top 50 player, lost to Leo Rakin, who is 29th in the country, took the second set to force a third, but then lost it. So excellent team that the Bulls went up against. Really, every single one of the matches were close except for the one that the Bulls won easily on the two courts. So they're right there. They'll have to string some wins together. They are below 500 right now in order to get that computer ranking up. And the women's tennis team is into the top 75 itself now and plays a fellow ranked opponent Sunday at 11. That is VCU, ranked 54th. So put that on your calendar as well. GoUSFBulls.com has all the exact start times for both Abdul Rashid Semenu and Shavoy Reed, the two members of track and field who are competing in the NCAA Indoor Finals, the championships today and Saturday. And by the way, since we posted the original version of Bulls Beat, the all-conference teams for the AAC were released, as we told you they would be. And as we figured, Romy Levy and Vicky Blasic were both honored. Full details at theamerican.org. You can also, of course, be certain that I'll give you a full roundup when we hit the air from Fort Worth on Sunday. We're looking forward to it, and hopefully a long stay for both teams in that city. The women's first game is Sunday. Thanks for dropping by here on the podcast page. I'm Derek Sharp.